Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know that our hosts sometimes send charts they're talking about directly to the Radio Plus app? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
We go to South Korea, folks. Busan, South Korea, Dongseo University. And we're thrilled to bring you Brian Myers, B.R. Myers, as we talk about North Korea. Professor, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
You have a most interesting academic background, South Africa, Germany, Russian studies and such. And there's some controversy about what form of government North Korea actually is. This group that had a rocket launch a few weeks ago, what kind of socialist republic is it?
Well, you know, it's taboo to compare anything to Nazi Germany, you know, Godwin's law and all of that. But I think when you have a state which preaches a race-based ethno-nationalism, a very radical ethno-nationalism, and which declares itself to be a military-first state, in other words, a state in which the army leads the way and not the proletariat, you're dealing with a state on the far right of the ideological spectrum and not on the far left.
Were you surprised that the rocket didn't make it to orbit or wherever it was going?
I was a little bit surprised because I thought with all the money and all the national prestige at stake, the North Koreans wouldn't have risked it unless they were pretty sure that it was going to be successful.
There's a book that's out in the U.S. and being reviewed about a young North Korean man who was literally raised in a North Korean prison camp and managed to escape. Anybody casting doubt on the things he talks about?
No, nobody is really. I mean, we've heard enough corroborating testimony from other refugees to know that these camps are really bad places. But it's kind of a difficult issue for me to talk about because I think that we need to keep in mind that as horrible as the human rights abuses are there, the regime in North Korea does enjoy a very high level of mainstream support. I think, again, we need to keep in mind that far-right or ethno-nationalist states tend to do a much better job of maintaining support than, say, communist states do. Ethno-nationalism is a very appealing ideology. And when you go to North Korea, as I did last year, you do find that the average person is pretty happy in that system. So they do have their dissidents who are treated horribly, and I think as much attention as possible should be drawn to their plight. But we have to keep in mind they're not the majority by any means.
How do you know they're fairly happy?
Well, for one thing, the very low number of people who leave the country. One thing I'm always struck by when you hear these horror stories about what an enormous prison state North Korea is that the migrants who are interviewed casually admit to having escaped the country several times. It really is not all that difficult to escape from.
Right.
And people who are forcibly repatriated are kept in prison for about 6 months on average. So they've been able to maintain a stable population despite having quite a porous northern border. And that indicates to me that there is a certain high level of mainstream support. But again, I don't want to diminish, you know, or downplay the human rights problem.
Right.
Human rights is about helping minorities.
Professor, you've got a view from South Korea. Michael Hanlon talks about hard power, and there's a Northern Asian strategic effort to not mollify but at least guide the debate with North Korea. What does the man on the street and the woman on the street in South Korea think about North Korea?
Well, you know, one thing that I think tends to, I think, be neglected in the outside world is the fact that a significant minority in South Korea sympathizes with the North Korean state. This is something quite different from the situation you had in divided Germany, for example, where I went to university in the 80s, when really no person in West Germany had any degree of sympathy for East Germany. Here it's different. Precisely because North Korea is an ethno-nationalist state, you have a lot of people down here who think, well, it's not so bad up there. At least they're standing up for themselves. They're not kowtowing to the Americans like we are. Now, it's a minority, but it's a significant minority, and I think even the mainstream does not feel a sort of indignation at North Korea's outrages and saber rattlings that we would feel as Americans,
right.
Say.
You have a cup of coffee with President Obama or Governor Romney. What would be your advice on how we should project ourselves to North Korea?
I think really that we should hang firm with them. I would warn the president against believing that there are hawks and doves struggling for power in North Korea, and that we can help the doves in Pyongyang if we make more concessions. This is very much a unified state which derives all its legitimacy from anti-Americanism and from the perception of military might. I think if we look weak to the North Koreans, we're going to end up paying for it. So I would suggest that the president sticks the course.
Let's leave it there. Professor, thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.